such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on this beautiful spring day. We need this. It's a time of winter went too long. So it is Easter season, so let's start, if we can, with the Regina Caeli. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Queen of heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia. For the Lord is truly risen, alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through Christ our Lord. Amen. So again, welcome to the Winds of Change. Glad to be in here sitting in for Father Anthony, as always. And just looking around at the world today, I come to a conclusion. The world's a mess. And we think we know that. So I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but we want to delve in today a little bit with not the realities of what we know, but what we do to solve it, the big thing, you know. I was at Mass this morning, and I looking at that first reading, something jumped out at me. And he talked about, the apostles are talking about, you know, bringing the faith away now from their little thing, bringing it to the Gentiles. And he said, they said this, God made his choice among you that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit, just as he did in us. Pointed out that the faith is for all of us, and we have to take it, and we have to work with it, and then we have to survive by it. That's what it's all about. Yeah. This past weekend, my wife and I went to see the movie Nefarious, and I highly recommend this movie to people. It's a little spooky, a little uncomfortable, but it really, really, it brings out what we're up against in this world. You know, the devil is real, evil is real, and we have to fight it. If we want to make it to heaven, we have to fight it. So, of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. I'm typically out in New Jersey, but back and forth here in Chicago often too. And we have an apostolate throughout the United States and around the world. And the mission of this apostolate is to bring the Fatima message to the world. To learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima, because it is, as St. Pope John Paul II said, more relevant today than it was in 1917. So I have a special guest I want to bring on here today, Katie Moran. Katie Moran is an author, a teacher, a speaker, and she also sits as a trustee of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA, a colleague and a good friend. So, Katie, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. And yeah, according to our Eastern tradition, Christ is risen.
Christ is truly risen.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, that's right. And I forgot to mention that, of course, you come from the Byzantine, the church, from the Eastern Church.
Yes.
And, tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, your Eastern roots in the church.
Yeah, well, I'm married 50 years, believe it or not. And I have five children, four boys and a girl. Two were adopted from Ukraine. My grandparents emigrated from Ukraine, so I'm a half-breed. I'm half Ukrainian and half Croatian. So I got both sides there, the Eastern Byzantine raising and, of course, the Western Church, because my mother made sure we were well-versed in both rites. And our division, the Byzantine division, is the only one in the United States. Interestingly enough, it was founded in the early 50s by John Hafford when he was approached by Archbishop Nicholas Teyelko of Pittsburgh, because he was very much pro-Fatima, to start what at that time they were called chapters, not divisions, to get going in the Eastern Rite. And it is, to me, I'm seeing that it is embraced by Eastern Catholics. People think maybe Eastern Catholics don't pray the rosary, don't know Fatima. Well, I got news for you. They very much pray the rosary, and they know the Fatima message, and they're trying to do as Our Lady has asked, to bring about peace, especially in Ukraine right now, which is, you know, where my grandparents came from and where the fighting is going on right now. And it's interesting enough that in 2017, Dave, Barb and I, Ernster and I, got called emails for rosaries. They needed rosaries. They couldn't make them fast enough. And they said the soldiers back then wanted rosaries because each one wanted a rosary in his pocket when he was out there fighting or doing whatever he was doing. So they know the power of the rosary there. And they're calling being able to keep Russia at bay as long as they have, they're calling that a rosary miracle or a rosary victory. Because they feel it's the prayers of the Holy Rosary. And we do know in 1914, Our Lady did appear May 12th in eastern Ukraine, Kharkiv. She appeared to villagers, 23 of them, on a weeping willow tree. And she came and said that Russia would become atheistic, spread her errors, and the world would suffer, and Ukraine would be held under domination for 80 years, but they would be free. And it's interesting, she said at that time the way to prevent it was to pray the rosary.
Absolutely.
So 3 years later, she comes to Fatima asking for the same thing.
Well, there's a tremendous devotion to Our Lady in the Eastern Church. I mean, even Russia, there's no country in the world with more oratories dedicated, traditionally at least, to Our Lady. Yeah, so it is. I think there's she's watching over the East.
Yeah.
Although, you know, at this point it's a difficult time. It's almost like we reverted from what we thought was coming, and what was coming and will come. I mean, I've been to Russia a number of times to speak, and the faith is getting strong there, but that doesn't speak for leadership all the time, you know, in any country, and so it's kind of sad what's happening. But it is, you know, it's a story. What did Our Lady say at Fatima? You know, war is a punishment for sin, and we all bring it on. We bring it on by our sin, you know, all over the world, and that's the problem. That's the situation we're in today. We are we're looking at, you know, people talk, oh, the time of another chastisement is coming, and who knows, perhaps it is, but I think these are things we have to pray to maybe not to stop necessarily, because a chastisement in whatever form or to what degree is for cleansing.
Yes.
So I think that's what we have to always look at. I mean, that's what our apostolate is all about, to prepare people for the most important thing, and that is for the next life. You know.
I like what Sister Lucia said. She said this not too long before she died. She said the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has already happened, that means in God's time. We just have to work our way towards it.
Yes.
And I think people need to realize that. It's not like, is it going to happen? Yeah. We just all have to do what we're called to do in the Fatima message. And that is so important, because as members of the apostolate, it's a one-to-one thing. Each member in the apostolate is praying for the conversion of someone who does not know God, who is atheistic, who is a communist or whatever they are, and we're praying for them. So it's a one-to-one battle, and we just need to get more soldiers than they have.
Well, that's exactly it. We have more soldiers on our side with our weapons, which, of course, are prayer, you know, but you know, the rosary, St. Padre Pio referred to that as the weapon. And
yes.
I think that that is in. And the rosary has been the foundational prayer of our organization and truly of any Marian organization. It is, you know, the devotion to the rosary is the key to success. Yeah, but yeah, I think that's really why we promote the way we do. I do remember the statement, though, that when John Hafford, our founder, met with Sister Lucia, and they formulated the pledge, of course, that we have. And he asked her, what is it that Our Lady wants most? He said, the recitation of the rosary, correct? And she smiled and said, no, she wants us to become holy. So the rosary and other prayer and devotion is the key to that. You know, that's your road to holiness. And so we hope by the programs that we have, and, you know, especially now promoting so much, you know, the obviously the first Saturday's devotion.
Yep.
I'm saying when enough people fulfill the first Saturday's devotion, you will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. You truly will. You truly see it.
Oh, I believe that. And people need to do it not once, but over and over again for those who cannot or will not do them.
Yes.
You need to embrace it. It's nothing difficult to do. It really isn't.
It's habit.
You should be going to confession once a month. You should be praying the rosary every day. You should be receiving. I mean, it's just so easy and such a simple plan to make reparation to her.
Well, it's truly the case. I mean, I try to go to Mass every day and pretty much do. And on days when I don't, it's frustrating. I feel, wow, I really missed something. So I can feel, I mean, I can see how you can get separated from it. You know, you receive our Lord in communion every day, and well, that's the food, that's the true food you need for the day. You know, and unfortunately, I think so many people in this world don't even believe in a real presence anymore. You know, here at the Church of St. Stan Kostka, the Divine Mercy Sanctuary, where this radio show is coming from, we have perpetual adoration. And it is just a beautiful thing, and it's in the most beautiful monstrance. Anybody who is coming down the Kennedy Expressway, you get off at Division, you take a right, and you take another right, and go down a block, and you'll see the beautiful church. Stop in, even if it's for 5 minutes. If you can stay and do a holy hour, that's beautiful. If you can only stay 5 minutes, stay 5 minutes. You know, but do something. Come there and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I think prayer in the presence of God in the Blessed Sacrament, I think, is really so efficacious. And the Fatima message is about, you know, Eucharistic reparation. You know, and so I think that's been the foundation. The first messages, the first apparitions to the children in 1916 were the Angel of Peace. And what did he do? He brought them to Eucharist. So I think that's why you're not going to go far if you don't have devotion to Our Lady, or to the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady.
And that's her title for May 13th, if I'm right on that one. That's her feast day. Our Lady of the Eucharist was on May. Right. It's on May 13th, and so it's not a coincidence she chose to come and appear there at that time to bring it home. In fact, Pius the one of the reigning pope at that time requested a 9-day novena to Our Lady of the Eucharist to help end the war. And what happened was, it was Benedict the 15th. What happened was, the answer to the 9th day of his novena was May 13th.
Right.
And it was the feast of, So I don't, and nothing happens, there's no coincidence. Eastern Catholics do not believe in coincidence. We believe that everything's in
God
the eyes of, they're God incidences. They're not coincidences, because this is what we're working for. And when you look at the previous century, the apparitions of Our Lady, each one of them prepared for one aspect of the Fatima message. And the one that prepared us most for Eucharistic reparation, was Knock, Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that came for and asked for, was Eucharistic reparation, and that prepared us for it. Lourdes prepared us for the rosary, because that's what Our Lady asked for, was the rosary and prayer, penance, and reparation. And, of course, the opening of the Marian with Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, that's where she came for the Two Hearts devotion how sacred Our Jesus, Immaculate of Mary. So people need to understand Our Lady prepared us for what she wanted us to do today.
Yeah, all part of a bigger plan, Katie. Katie, we have to take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the devotional tools that we promote to help people in going forward. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony. And my guest today is Katie Moran. Katie, welcome back to the show. And I just want to pick up where we left off a little bit. We're talking about devotions, and we're talking about what our, what we promote to try to bring people to, holiness, I guess, is what it really truly comes down to. And I did mention that, St. Stan's is, of course, located here at Division and Noble, and we do have perpetual adoration. And it's so appropriate because the program that we're promoting here in this year of Eucharistic Revival is the Night of Love. It's about the all-night adoration, and it's just a beautiful beautiful thing. It's like I say, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you just contemplate who you're with, It's transformative. It really does change you, and that's really what this is all about. When we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, we hopefully become what we do become, more like Him. That's what it's all about. And I think, I say veil yourself of that opportunity anywhere you can, because this world needs the prayer and holiness to counter the evil that's so obviously out there. So, that's why we bring these programs. Katie, the Night of Love, you actually participated in one of the long-lasting all-night vigils that was happening in New York a couple years ago, if I remember, correct?
Yep, Barb and I went there because Father wouldn't give her an interview unless we came and experienced it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's just down from Grand Central Station. It's not in the nice section of New York. Buses come from all over the northeastern area there, like up in Boston, and they just line up on the streets. And the New York City police, I'll tell you what, thumbs up to them. They keep their cruisers parked there because the doors are open all night. Mm-hmm. And people see these cruisers parked out there. People feel safe coming in and out. And you're not sitting there just trying to keep yourself awake all night. They're doing stuff every hour on the hour to keep you moving, to keep you going. You actually get 2 coffee breaks. The groups break up. Somebody's always there, and you go down and get your coffee break and something to eat. But it was an absolutely wonderful experience. And I helped Barb re-edit John Hafford's book on it to make it more compatible today, Night of Love. And I can't begin to recommend to people to get it, maybe get an extra copy. Give it to a priest if you think he's open to doing this once a month. Mm-hmm. The first Friday and the first Saturday.
Well, yeah, the first Friday, first Saturday. Now, here in Chicago, the Chicago Blue Army holds the all-night vigil on the third weekend of the month. Okay. We had three going in my time in Chicago. We had three going for many years, the second, third, and fourth weekends of the month. And those were for the north, west, and south side. So now the south side is still going, the fourth weekend. And we kept the first Friday, first Saturday open for people in their parishes, more of a parish thing. But for more information on the work of the Chicago Blue Army, call 312-405-6625. 312-405-6625. And you get information on not only the all-night vigils that are held monthly in Oak Forest, but also on other, you know, devotional activities that are handing around the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, very important. I mean, at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey, we hold the all-night vigil on first Friday to first Saturday from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., and it's really beautiful. Well attended. Nice to see more and more people. I mean, and again, when you're coming down to Kennedy Expressway, we used to have on the wall, you see the banners that are up there. If you're going south, when you come by, remember the Kennedy Expressway curves around St. Stan's Rectory, because it was when that rectory was built, it was pushed that they will not be destroyed. Nothing will be destroyed in that church. And some politicians from the area made sure it didn't happen. Thank God. Okay. There was a beautiful sign over there at one time that said, "If this parish can move an expressway, it can move you."
I like that.
So I love that. So I say it can move you to get off over there, go in, pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We once had one of our posters up there for some years, and it said just this. It had a picture of Our Lady, and it said, "The world is in desperate need of help. We have the answer." And it gave our website, bluearmy.com. And I think a lot of people responded to that, because it was just a simple statement that there is, that the, you know, it's in the Fatima message, and the Fatima message is nothing more than the Catholic message. It is the reiteration of the Gospels, and it's steeped in prayer and adoration and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. So if you have those things, you have the essence of the faith, and you're on your way to good things, you know. But anyway, you know, moving on a little bit, I wanted to bring that up, and I want everybody to get this book, you know, The Night of Love. ShopFatima.com. ShopFatima.com. That's our gift store, and we do have those available. So please, you know, avail yourself of that. We also have a condensed little version that we send out for people, because we want people to get in front of the Blessed Sacrament and pray. And if there is, especially the night adoration, because it's a night, especially a Friday night to Saturday, I think that's when a lot of sin occurs. It's the time. So it's really, that's why those nights were really selected. And, I see it, you know, being a lifetime resident of Chicago, although I'm mostly in New Jersey now. But it's, I see it. It's in every big city you go to, you see it. And even away from the cities. You know, we are in, we're kind of a messy time in this world. But we're going to win. St. Paul said that a long time ago. We're going to win. And we have to fight it. Yeah, we have to be there for it. So, but Katie, I also want to talk a little bit about a book that you wrote, Mary's Gentle Path. I think we spoke about this perhaps on the show already. And could you give us a little bit of some information on the book, what were the daily meditations from the writings of Sister Lucia of Fatima, and just a few words on that, if you can.
Yeah, the feedback I'm getting is the people love it because it's short, and if they're not readers, they can do it, and if they don't have a lot of time. But it's 365 days, a quote from the writings of Sister Lucia, which cover everything in the church teaching. She wrote on everything. She was a catechist. So you have that beautiful quote. Then you have the meditations on that quote that I wrote so that you can draw more out of what she wants you to go to. And then the last thing is the daily challenge. What can you do today to challenge yourself to grow in your faith and to move forward, whether it's Eucharistic adoration, praying for the poor souls in purgatory, praying that rosary, whatever it is, whatever Sister Lucia has referred to that day. And I actually used most of her books as resource for that. So, you know, if you like what you're reading, then you can see the books in the back where I got them from, and the Shrine sells them, shopfatima.com, and you can pick up her other books and read more about what she has to say. But she is, I learned so much about her and her spirituality in researching it. I mean, I have such admiration, such a pure, humble soul. And all she wanted to do was what Our Lady asked of her. And Our Lady couldn't have chosen a better person than that 10-year-old little girl to do what she needed done. And hopefully she's going to be canonized soon, because in my opinion, she was told by Our Lady, yes, Lucia, you're going to heaven. So in my opinion, I don't know what's taken so long to get her canonized. We're told where she's at.
She's told, yeah, that's true. Yes, they were told right there. Almost like St. Dismas from the cross, you know, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yes. So,
that's very, very true. But I think that, but she was meant to stay here and live the Fatima message for those 88 years. Okay, you know, the other two children had short lives, and they excelled in virtue in those few years. But Sister Lucia, or Lucia became Sister Lucia, lived it throughout. And we're very honored to work with the Sisters of the Carmel of Coimbra, where she was. And we published a number of her books, her Rosary Meditation book, The Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, which is a
very
beautiful
good
book. And that's been selling out for some years, and those are all available. But also, we're in the midst of a project with the Sisters. They are publishing an annual now on the newer writings that they've come across. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book. They've got it's not a magazine, a little bigger than a magazine. It's an annual, and just like with the Pathway, they are printing it in Portuguese and some other languages, and we have the English rights, and we will be out there promoting this. So it's coming soon. I just honestly this morning just received an email from Mother Sophia, where they have approved the translation. So now is the next step is I have to
get
together
good
with them and get everything going. So that's another project that we'll drag you into that too, Katie, because you're always good at it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, she wrote over 10,000 letters. There is a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think of what I read, I didn't begin to scratch the surface.
Well, I think like what you said when you wrote this book, it is beautiful. And by the way, my wife, Dorothy, has this on a nightstand. She goes through every day. She follows it. But I like the fact that you have the daily challenge, okay?
Yeah.
Because prayer and meditation are important, but now what are you going to do with that? You know, we can't just pray and expect miracles to happen. Here's the challenge. Now go forward and do this, this, or this. And that's really what we have to always keep in mind. We are people of prayer, but prayer has to lead us to action. And, and unfortunately, I think too many people stop with the prayer. You know, even if they get an inspiration to do something else, they maybe are afraid. I don't know. You know, because you're living in a society now where standing up for your faith has a price. You know, maybe, and I learned a lot of that by my time in Eastern Europe, working with, you know, the people in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Been to, you know, to Russia, as I've said a number of times. The people that fought and stood there, you know, the Poles. I mean, you know, of course, my in-laws are Polish, and I, you know, seeing when I started going there, of course, communism had ended there, or at least, you know, somewhat ended. but it was, you know, it was after the fall of the Soviet Union. But you can see, you know, that there was they fought to keep their faith, to keep their churches open, okay? You know, and that's why the faith is so strong. Sadly, what I'm seeing is that over there, they've lost a lot of the faith since then. And not lost the faith as much, but lost as much some of the zeal for the faith. Because it's, you know, it's not something they're fighting for anymore.
And, yeah, it's something that they've just have it. And they get very lax, like the Western world has done.
Right.
You know, very lax. Yeah, this is what happened. And I think our three children, they showed us that. Sister Lucia showed us how to live the Fatima message. Jacinta showed us how to offer up our sufferings and our daily duties, and Francesco showed us how to take it to the Eucharistic Lord. Right. I mean, those three children, each one took one aspect and really brought it to the head for people to imitate, because we're called to imitate what they did.
Well, that's right. That's right. No, that's exactly it. And I'd like to touch a little more on the virtues of the children. We have to take another break right now. When we come back, though, I'd like to explore that. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on the Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
The best candidate for marriage is the very person who would be a good candidate for monasticism. And the best candidate for monasticism would be the very person who would be a good candidate for marriage. I'm Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Celibacy and marriage are not opposed to each other. They are actually two sides of the same coin. Marriage and celibacy are both choices to love, to make a gift of self, to live spousally. Happy marriages are those which have the element of the monastic in them, prayer, discipline, dying to self, and a sense of belonging ultimately to God. A celibate is happiest when he or she lives their celibacy spousally, making a gift of self to God and to others. The married couple reminds the celibate of the spousal dimension of his or her celibacy. The celibate reminds the married couple of the sacramental nature of their marriage. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in for Father Anthony today. And when I left off with my guest, Katie Moran, we were discussing some of the books. We were discussing some of the devotions. Katie, I want to get into one aspect of what we promote in this apostolate, of course, and that is the prayer cell program, okay? And how we, you know, I think the comment was made, you may have made this, that that the children were the first prayer cell.
Yes.
And a prayer cell is the foundation of our apostolate. So maybe elaborate on that a little bit if you can.
See, prayer is everything. I mean, if you don't have prayer, you will have nothing in your whatever you do. An apostolate is successful on the people who pray. So this is the foundation of it. And Our Lady set this up with the three children. They were taught the angel prayers and then, of course, the rosary. And they were the first prayer cell because they did this every day. They prayed those angel prayers. In fact, they actually touched their heads to the ground. Oh, my most holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then the rosary they prayed together. And this is the basis of our apostolate. It's a firm foundation in which all of our good works will come forth because we have faithful people praying the prayer cell every day. And this isn't something where people have to go out and get a bunch of people and meet in church. This is something, I say, two or more. In your home, if you're praying the family rosary together, incorporate the angel prayers that are required, and you'll have your little prayer cell. Encourage people to join you, maybe meet in church, maybe after a daily mass once a week, you can do a prayer cell. One of the places I've seen it success, and I've done it in my own diocese, I've gone to nursing homes, especially Catholics, and I've talked to the Catholic patients there that are there, but their minds are all there. You know, they just can't get out and about anymore, and they want to be supportive of the church. And when I told them they can form this prayer cell among themselves, they were ecstatic. I think some of them, where we set it up, they do it every day. They meet every day, pray the rosary, and they do the... So you can do it with your nursing home people. You can do it in your own homes. Talk about it to your, you know, go to your pastor and ask him if you can talk to the groups that are there. If you have a statue that goes into homes, like we have a traveling statue, once it's in the home, there should be literature which you can get from the Blue Army. What is a prayer cell and the history of the Blue Army and the pledge? And then people who come and pray the rosary with the statue in the home, then they're taught about this prayer cell so that they, when the statue leaves, they keep that prayer cell going in their own homes. I can't stress that prayer enough. The mystics, the saints, nothing is successful if it doesn't have the foundation of that prayer.
Right, right. Well, I think that's what it is. And it is the domestic church. You talk about, you know, the prayer cells in the homes. That's really where it is. I mean, certainly it's beautiful to come into a church and pray, and especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or participate in the Mass and such. But prayer in a home is important, too. Very important.
Yeah, and I know Barb and I worked on it. We've got a small booklet that we'll just email to people, which takes you through a prayer cell. So it takes you through the angel apparitions, using each one for each prayer cell, the six apparitions and the ones after Fatima, so that you can actually revitalize and just take into your heart again what is this message of Fatima through the prayer cell. So there, Barb Ernster's got the information to send out, and I think you just go bernster@bluearmy.com to get information on how to form these prayer cells.
Right, right. Contact Barb Ernster, bernster@bluearmy.com. She's our national coordinator, and she will take care of that, absolutely, because we're finding that is where the real interest is now, in the rekindling of these prayer cells, because the prayer cells are how everything started in this apostolate, and I think how everything revitalizes, because again, you know, it's the small groups that come together. You know, that's how a big organization becomes big. You know, and it's just that we're a sum of all of our parts, and it's very important. But I think yes, that's and especially if you get the, and that's when you get the children involved, because you're teaching them to pray at home. What'll lead them to want to pray in church?
I got a real cute story for you of my grandchildren. I only get them twice a month, and their mother's not Catholic. She doesn't do much with the faith, and so between me and my son, we do the best we can. But when they're here on Saturday and Sunday mornings, because that's when my son works, I always have EWTN on, and we pray the rosary. And initially, I thought, well, I'll get them to learn the prayers. We just have to sit and do it, but I don't know. If they're not practicing for 2 weeks, how are they going to remember it? I got this dilemma in my mind. But I'd have the rosary on twice a day for them when they were here, and even if they were playing, because they're 6 and 8. Well, last weekend, we were sitting and listening to it, and I told them, okay, guys, sit here quietly with Grandpa and I and just listen to the rosary so you can learn the prayers. Well, the first four mysteries, they were antsy, twisty, how much longer, I got to go to the bathroom. Finally, I said to them for the last mystery, I said, if you sit quietly and pay attention, you'll get chocolate. They not only did they sit there, they knew the prayers.
You bribed them.
They knew the prayers. I looked at them afterward. I said, when did you learn those? Oh, a couple months ago from you playing it all the time.
Funny.
That is funny. It took chocolate for me to realize my grandchildren.
Chocolate's a great unifier.
It certainly is. But I thought you'd appreciate. So if you think your kids aren't listening and learning, they most certainly are.
Yes, they really are.
They are listening they're in the background.
Well, and that goes for good and bad. That's why they learn, they listen, their minds are like sponges. You know, I mean, when you're young, you learn. When you're old, try to learn things, it's a lot different. You know, and maybe because our minds are so cluttered as we get older, maybe we don't have the brain capacity, I don't know. But
we don't know where the delete button is.
We don't have the delete button. I think it's a very good way to look at it. Yeah. No, you're right. And I think that's really, you know, why you must teach children young, you know, and as best you can, because that's what's going to stay with them. You know, I mean, people do convert when they're older, and that's beautiful. But I think that, you know, when you're taught young, you know, teach a child when he's young, and when he's old, he will not depart his ways. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
So if you're listening to this and you're older and you can remember doing prayer cells, because some of our prayer cells we formed in the 80s, my mother and I, they would actually then turn around afterwards and turn it into their rosary making session. Mm-hmm. So they had a prayer cell, finished it, and then for an hour or two they'd make rosaries for us and to send out. So you might be listening and you're going to think, I remember doing that. Now you need to reinstitute it. You need to get the younger people. You need to get them involved in doing this, because maybe you can say, I can't send money or I can't do this. You can do the prayer cell.
Yeah, and it's prayer and action is what we're talking about here, which is really very important, because you have to, and especially with children, because they have a limited attention span. And, you know, so, but we do need, we had at one time vibrant school programs, where I remember my own relatives in around the Archdiocese of Chicago, my aunts, my mother, right, they would go to do the school programs regularly. And you know, I think there's a lot of, I don't know, you can't track the number of vocations or good marriages or whatever came out of this. But you can see, I've even spoken with people in recent times who refer back to that. You know, I remember when I was young and they brought the school program into the school, and it's kind of amazing how it does stay with some people.
Yeah, it does. And the schools are another place, Catholic schools, you can go and present, you know, I'm telling people out there, go and present this prayer self-formation to the schools. Because, yes. I mean, it's whoever will pick it up and start doing it, you know, whether it's home, nursing homes, wherever you go, this prayer cell is very, very important to re-buy, because this was something John Hafford did in the 50s and the 60s.
That's correct.
I know he did. And there were prayer cells everywhere. So now we need to go back to our basics, as you said, Dave.
These are
the basics of why the Fatima was so successful in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It really was. If you look at those old soul magazines, you can see he was a real gangbuster. And that's because he led the foundation.
Well, that's right, laid the foundation. When you look at, of course, the time, 1947, certainly a different time, but it wasn't a time without disruption. Let's be realistic. We just come off of World War II. You had 1947 when this apostle was founded. And yes, the premise was the Blue Army of Prayer to counter the Red Army of atheistic communism. Beautiful. I mean, okay, still really is our mission today. We're fighting more the humanism, which is the same atheism in reality. It's if it's not a direct denial of God, it's a belief that is not necessary. So it's the same thing. It's still a denial, and probably worse, because it has a more pleasant appearance. You know, the way the church was openly persecuted back then, but it's being persecuted again.
Yes, especially in China. Especially in China. Look what's going on in Africa, the Middle East. I mean, we really. I think our apostle. We really need to get out there and say, pray the rosary. This is what we got to stress. And I know with the statue that travels, the international. That's what these custodians are stressing. You know, pick up this rosary and start praying it again. And people, you know, people will see me. I'll be in the grocery store, and a lot of times I'll have the rosary in my hand, and I'm just walking, doing the beads while I'm walking. And I'll have people come up to me, and two things. What is it? Or, I didn't know we still prayed it.
I didn't know we still prayed it. I've heard that.
Yeah, I get that a lot. And that's your chance to evangelize. And if you carry one of those rosaries that are made, that are plastic, that aren't expensive, then if the people show an interest, you can say, they can say, well, I don't even know where mine is. Well, here, take this one.
Yes.
You know, I've given a lot away that way. But you evangelize in many ways. There were saints who carried their rosaries on the streets, on the paths, in the woods, and people saw them in their hands praying them. We need to start being more open with our faith.
Well, that's a fact. We cannot hide it. You know,
no.
And if we hide it, it's going to be taken away from us. Because we have to stand up and say, I am unapologetically Catholic, and I am not your enemy. I'm your friend. I'm here to pray for you and for others, myself, of course, you know, and for the salvation of souls, because that's really what it's all about. Yeah.
And Roe versus Wade being reversed, that was prayer. We finally had enough people in this country praying and praying and praying, because that you can't just put that in politics' hands. No, that was prayer. Mm-hmm. And I really, really think it's going to continue going in a better direction. I mean, maybe now God will bless our country a little bit more. I think it was St. Teresa Newman who said God is pleased with the generosity of America. He loves her for it, but America is going to be brought to her knees for her sins the elements.
Yes.
And this is what's happening. People in America have got to get back to prayer.
Katie, you're right about that. Now, we have to take another break. When we come back, though, I want to follow up on that and our call to action going forward. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM. WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today on Winds of Change, sitting in for Father Anthony. And my guest is Katie Moran. Katie, we left off talking about the calls to action, or maybe moving on to that. You know, we have to, it's easy for us to take our prayer, stay home and pray, go into church and pray, and that's very beautiful. And that's important, because that is the foundation of everything. But then we have to take it out there, okay? You know, we have to have, we cannot be ashamed of who we are, okay? And because we have to some degree been, I think that's to a point, that's how Catholics were in this country in the times of, you know, early days when we were really a minority. And then we came to prominence, okay, as we are the largest single religion in the United States. Maybe not still. I think we still are. And then all of a sudden, but I think what might have happened is we became too much a part of society. My point is, did we become too comfortable? You know, I know that there was always such a great respect for priests in society. Even, I know many non-Catholics that often would talk highly of the nobility of the church and the priests and everybody, and they put them on a social pedestal to a great degree. Well, obviously not anymore. That's really diminishing, has diminished a lot by some serious bad actions of a very few, but some. But I wonder if long-term, if not being this greatly recognized and appreciated social entity, we will be a much stronger church. And I wonder if these newer priests coming up, who may not experience all of that, might be finding, the true, more the true essence of their priesthood, you know?
I'll tell you one thing, Dave, you'll notice on this subject of getting out and proclaim it. Our Christian brethren, they have no problems getting out there and catechizing and speaking out. Catholics are famous for keeping their mouths shut.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's almost like they're afraid to vocalize what they believe. Yeah. And we really need to take a lesson from them.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if we need to bang as hard as they do, but we need to
maybe
be...
harder.
Yeah, maybe harder. You're right. We need to be the ones that get out there and proclaim it and not... Well, I think they hide not on purpose. I think they hide under a rock or something, you know, like, you know, they're not taking out the gifts that God has given them. He's going to use the gospel of the talents. You know, we have the fullness of faith.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And this is a reason that we should be getting out there and being proclaiming it, you know. Like, this is the Easter season. When I was growing up, you know, in the community, everywhere you went, we got Christos Voskrese.
Right.
Walk into your grandparents' home. You walk into the local market. That's Christ is risen, for those who don't
Christ
know it. Ukrainian.
Right.
Yeah. And you proclaimed it with the top of your lungs for 40 days.
You did.
And now it's you're in church during liturgy, and the priest is going, Christ is risen. And you hear the people, oh, indeed, he's risen. And this young priest we have, he's 40. He said, oh, come on now. Can't we get more happier than that about
this?
Some energy here. Yeah, let's get some energy into it. So this is where we think we've got to see people. You've got to be more... This is my faith, and start wearing it on your arm sleeve. Start wearing it open. Don't be afraid to say, I am Catholic, and I am proud of it.
No doubt. I think what it is, though, Katie, to a great degree, is our church was so strong, so intact, you know, when we were younger, and that I think we just, that was their job, okay? We just had to live it and not necessarily proclaim it as much. We proclaimed it by our lives, okay? I mean, our parents, I mean, you know, lived good, in my case, I can say. My parents lived a very good Catholic marriage, and that was an example.
So were mine.
Yeah, I think what it was is we just had an expectation that it was being done. We, you know, depended. I think, like, for example, when many of these difficult things came out about members of the church, about the clergy, the priests, and all, a lot of people in our mother's generation, they denied it. They couldn't accept that, you know. I mean, you know, and my parents, my mother, well, she would be, 102 if she were alive today. My father was born in 1917, you know.
Wow.
He would have been. So, and by the way, today is the 40th anniversary of his death. And so I ask everybody to say a little prayer for Michael, my father. He died four years ago today. He was only 65 when he died. And it's been a void for many years. Yeah. And I remember watching them on a Sunday. We would go to Mass as a family, and they would, you know, my mother, my father, my sister and I with them. And it was just, you know, it was an example. You know, so if I have a strong faith today, it's really because of them. You know, watching them live their Catholic marriage and faith.
This is where, and marriage is the other cornerstone. We have the prayer, mm-hmm. and marriage is the other cornerstone. And it's it is really being hammered at today.
It is.
I think we're maybe, and I used to say first or second, I think we're in a third generation of kids who have been in broken homes and don't know what it is to go to Mass every Sunday and don't know what it is to have a mother and a father. You know, instead of all these marriages and remarriages or living with boyfriends, and the kids are confused. They are very confused.
Very, very confused. They don't, and then you wonder why they don't get into strong marriages and why their marriages don't last or why they don't even get married. I mean, you look at what is the illegitimacy rate is extremely high today. I don't know what percentage, and when I say illegitimacy, I'm using a term from the past, and I don't mean to cast an aspersion on children born into that, but it's reality that there is a lack of total commitment on parents, and the children grow up seeing that. You know,
Saint Jacinta said this, marriages will not be good.
No.
I mean,
no,
she said this before she died. It's God, she had that prophetic vision that they're not going to be good. What makes a marriage good? Let's give them a little brief catechism lesson here. A baptized man and woman who've never been married before and get married before a priest in the sacrament of matrimony for life until one or the other dies.
Right.
Exactly. That is the sacrament of matrimony. It's not what they're making it out today to be, you know. And we just, you don't see that many marriages like that. And today, it used to be if you hit the 25 mark, oh man, you're doing great. I think anybody who hits the 5-year mark is doing good. Unfortunately, they're doing good. So we need to, our prayer life, so when we do this prayer cell, you're praying for the apostolate. You're praying for the foundation of good marriages, which is the foundation of the domestic church.
Yes.
The domestic church is solid marriages. I mean, I spoke over 20 years ago on Catholic homeschooling all around the country, and that is what we stressed, the foundation, the marriages. And this is where we saw them in homeschooling families. This is where you saw the parents committed to raising their children Catholic. And I think it was the then Cardinal Ratzinger, when we met with him, said that this would be, Catholic homeschool movement would be one of the moving forces to save marriage in the church, because this is where we saw vocations coming from.
Right.
Yeah, and so that came from him as Cardinal Ratzinger, and he saw that back in the 90s before he was Pope. So I think the Fatima Apostolate promotes all of this. Prayer.
And you talk about the prayer cells, the smaller groups of people coming together, primarily families. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were supporters of Father Patrick Peyton. And, of course, we promoted the movie Pray that came out several years ago. We promoted it here, you know. And anyway, I love that little thing. The family that prays together stays together. And that was everything. And we said our family rosary at home until such time as maybe we were off working or whatever. But we were always part of that, yeah. It was important to the family. Yeah.
I like to put the praying the rosary in a mathematical perspective. You're an engineer. You'll like this. Yeah. To pray a 5-decade rosary is 1% of your 24-hour day.
There you go.
And I tell people, can you give God, Our Lady, the Trinity, 1% of your day? 1%.
Right.
And I think that puts it into perspective.
It truly does, Katie, because, it's beautiful to go into a church like at St. Stan's here and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed. That's beautiful. But that's not, you can do, I say most of my rosaries in the car, probably, if I'm traveling, you know. And really, there's a lot of idle time. I would say don't listen to radio, but then we're on the radio, so that doesn't sound good. But still, you know. But I mean, you know, yes, listen to Catholic radio or say the rosary, I would say, would be the best thing, you know. But the thing is, you know, we use our time well. Okay, and I think that's really, you're right, it takes such a small percentage of the day to pray the rosary. And, you know, and then if you feel it, then pray a second one. Pray a third one, you know, and think of maybe your family members or somebody who did not say a rosary that day and pray it for them, you know, and that's really important. I mean, and that's
my grandmother, God rest her soul, she had 12 children, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or, 12. And, or no, 11, I'm sorry, 11, I'm thinking of my other one. And I can remember she had a couple that strayed, and I was probably 15, 16, 17. I said to her, I said, Mama, what are you going to do with Aunt so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so? You know, they don't go to church, they're really living rather immoral lives. Aren't you afraid for their souls? And she said, no, I'm not. I told the devil he wasn't getting my children unless he gets me, and this is my method. She says, every time I had a child, I added a rosary. She prayed 11 rosaries a day, one for each of her children. And I know the two that I was concerned about, they died in the graces of the church.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. And I tell people, maybe you can't say a rosary for each of your children, but you can say a rosary.
You got it. Prayer moves mountains because prayer moves God.
Yes.
Well, Katie, thank you for being on the show today. Really great having you, great insights. And for more information, come to BlueArmy.com. The books we talked about, ShopFatima.com, but our whole apostolate, BlueArmy.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
What what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time.